Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. A good topic today because we have been doing this enough. We both have coached hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people in the reselling game. And I thought it'd be fun for us to not necessarily call out specific people, but call out the specific traits and things we see from people that we know are going to win in this. And then the same goes the other way, right? The traits that we know somebody's going to lose reselling. And I think a lot of them aren't as obvious as people make them out to seem. And I guess I'll start with the most blatant one is that when people ask the most basic questions endlessly, right? We'll give you a pass for your first three super basic questions of like, how do you open up an eBay or Amazon account? And like, how do I, you know, ship something in, or how do I do this or that? We give you a pass for your first three. After that, all of the information's out there between my YouTube channel, between Johnny's YouTube channel, between his group, between my group, between, I mean, dude, we got thousands and thousands of hours, me and you alone, just like talking about selling books, CDs, DVDs on Amazon and eBay, like that. It's all there. You know, it's like the Britannica encyclopedias when we're growing up, right? You just got to go and search, right? It's got the little letter on the spine. So, you know, if you're looking for something that begins with the letter B, you pull it off and open it up to the page. Like, I truly believe we have covered every single thing that can possibly be covered. And when you ask the beginner questions, after three questions, you got to start doing something on your own here.
Yeah, I remember when I first started, I had a list of 10 questions, but after three, I had to stop asking them in a text group because I needed to execute. I needed to build upon that before I bothered them asking any more questions. I didn't have questions for months because it took me a while to get through those first three initial ones. But to me, it's similar to yours on the quote-unquote loser aspect. I'm going to make it more winner aspect. Asking the right questions. Asking the money-making questions, not the general how to just Google that shit questions. How do I maximize my profits? Here are my sources. And yeah, it's a basic answer to that, but that is an appropriate technical put money in your wallet question opposed to how do I use the Amazon knowledge base? You type stuff in and you click around. I don't know what else to tell you.
Should you buy a Rolo or a Dymo? Like, come on. Like,
that doesn't make you any more money. I mean, I get it from an efficiency standpoint. We can answer it technically like that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really make you any more money. Or I have an opportunity. Here's the scenario. What do you think of the financial benefit would be? That's a technical money-making question right there, ladies and gentlemen. Winner, chicken dinner right there.
Dude, I think that's so true. We haven't seen a lot lately, but over in the Discord, every once in a while, we'll have a newer seller who's never bought in bulk, like post the actual like Facebook Marketplace listing, and everybody will kind of chime in. I think that's so important because especially when you're newer, you can't, if you run the risk of spending your only $500 and it's all junk, but you can't tell it's junk because you're brand new to the game. Like that's so true, man. I never even really thought about it like that. Like having others' inputs when you're making these big decisions. I'm not saying if me and Johnny say no, don't do it, right? We're never 100% correct, but we have experience and can see things that a new person really can't see just looking at photos or reading how they worded their Facebook listing.
Yeah, and which is different from them posting just a random bookshelf of books and be like, is there any money here? I'm like, well, how about I teach you how to look it up versus me doing the work for you and just telling you yes to number two and five? That's not a money-making question. The money-making question is, here is a shelf sampling of books. They have more. My buy cost is this. How do I get my buy cost down lower with this individual who wants to do repeat business with me? That's a money-making question versus what's the evaluation of the shelf here, guys? Like, No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing your work for you. If you don't know how to do the work, yes, I will tell you how to do the work so you can do the work, in fact. But outside of that, I'm not helping you with that stupid ass question.
All right, I will defend myself here because I do send stuff to Johnny and I don't look it up, but I at least pay him half of what it's worth, right? So, and I will say this, he gives me some tidbits. He lets me know when I send him the shit. He's like, "Hey, dude, like I might as well just flush this down the toilet." I'm like, "All right, well, what you looking for?" He's like, "Send me Bibles." So I start filling up the box with Bibles, right? I'm never going to be an expert, but like Johnny said, if you're just saying, "Hey," like you take it's like the lazy way, right? You're just trying to get somebody else to do the work for you, and that's fine if you're going to pay that other person to do it for you. But when you come into groups, and you're just like, "Hey, which one of these should I buy?" Like, all you have to do is scan it for Amazon or just manually look it up on the eBay app, right? Like anybody out there can do this. So just trying to, I guess, lazy shortcutting corners that kind of get people into a hole. Now, I do like people in the beginning. I kind of can tell they're going to win when they really focus, like Johnny is saying, like, they understand, all right, I got to keep my buy cost low. I've had one-on-ones, and this is another thing too. I have like probably 40 to 50 one-on-ones a month. And these people do not, I'll tell you, for the most part, they're not like, they're the quiet ones, right? You won't see them on any of the weekly calls. They pop on a one-on-one with me once a month, and they just crush it behind the scenes, right? So it's the quiet ones that really just ask me, you got 25 minutes to sit down with me, right? You can't ask every question under the sun in 25 minutes. So maybe that's what Johnny's saying. Like maybe that forces them to be more tactical with the questions they ask, and there's layers to the question, and they just don't show up with a snapshot and say, "Hey, what should I buy from this?" Right? It's like, "Well, here's my buy cost. How many pieces of inventory do I need to get to X amount of dollars?" There's so many little things that I catch on to, and I'm like, "You know what? I won't fully juice you up yet because you're new, but I got high hopes you're going to be a top prospect in this league."
It's like American Idol. You don't tell them they're great off the get-go. You just say, you're okay. You're okay. Your one-on-ones are much different than mine. Mine come in with, here's my whole business model. What do I need to do next? That's generally how it goes. I got one new person right now who's like what you're talking about, brand new. So I'm working with her from the ground up. But everybody I get, they're like, here, and here's a PDF. I'm like, cool. I like PDFs. Let me read this real quick. But I think another telltale sign is knowing your numbers. That is so critical in this business. Even if you're earlier on and you're like, I'm spending, here's my buy cost, here's what I'm spending in subscriptions, here, if you're renting, I don't know, a storage unit, blah, blah, blah. They know their numbers. They got that down, and they may have a technical question of, at least in Amazon land, I'm getting conflicting reports from different places in Amazon. I want to be exact. Which one of these is exact? And that's when I get to laugh at them and I'll be like, they're all wrong and right at the same time. Just pick one. I'm sorry, you can't be really exact here. The only thing you can really be exact is what's coming in your bank account and which one of these three sheets is as close to reflecting that as you can.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
But not knowing your numbers, though, can be learned. I find the people that do know their numbers tend to be more successful. Just they have more control of knowing which lever in their business to leverage to in order to expand the way they want to expand at any given time. The person who doesn't, they're a little bit more hesitant and conservative, even though they've been in the game a lot, and they're just kind of like, I just get a bucket load of money, but I'm not going to make any bigger plays because of that. It's not that they're afraid to make bigger plays. They don't know if they got the funds to support a big play kind of deal.
Yeah, I want to kind of piggyback on the big play idea because I see this right in the beginning. Everybody's like, let's just get it, right? Let's just focus on this Amazon thing. Let's just run this Amazon thing up into what as much as we possibly can. And I have seen this over the past years of where people are getting results and all of a sudden I guess it becomes mundane and boring, right? We say it all the time. Like, what we do is not fun and exciting. We're just scanning stuff. Sure, we catch something out in the store every once in a while. That's worth it. But for the most part, I think a lot of people they feel like, all right, well, this is it. And it's not fun. It's not exciting. And they start to think of different things that they could do to possibly make money when it comes to, I guess, diversification, the word I hate the most in reselling. And everybody drags me for it. I don't care, right? If this works, I'm on the plane already. We already left the runway. So if it crashes, I'll be the sole survivor. But yeah, like I think people that start getting results, maybe they start overthinking things, right? And that's the first, it's a red flag to me when I'm like, wait a minute. If we had a conversation that we were making, our goal was to make $500 a month. Now we're making $4,000 a month. And all of a sudden we lose focus on everything. It's just like, well, maybe I could start doing something else, right? And then you start slowly like stop putting as much time into the business. And then it's like a slow, because Amazon, you'll get sales, right? If me and you stop sending to Amazon, we'll probably get sales for the next, 12 to 18 months, right? It won't be crazy, but we'll get sales probably one or two a day. So like you still see results that trickle in, but your effort goes down. And it's like you're just slowly killing your business. And it's so hard for me to just get it through to people because people are so, like you said, scared of like, I don't know what the like scared of risk or scared of like being banned. But like if that's the case, then you should be more scared of like getting hit by some idiot when you're driving to the thrift store than you should be worried about losing your account on Amazon. It's tough for me because we've been doing this long enough now, Johnny. Like we look back, we've seen people we thought were going to crush it and they no longer exist, right? And we've seen people that have moved on to different greener pastures. I think there's a difference here of a failed reselling business and somebody that moves on to something else. I will say this. I have nothing wrong with people moving on to other business opportunities. You find out this is not for you versus somebody that still thinks they're a reseller and their sales just keep going down and down and down. And then the crying gets louder and louder and louder.
Right, absolutely. And then this next one's interesting, and it's a medium between the two. It's the no cost, low cost mentality, and the people I think are winners that know to shift away from that versus the people that stay at that all the time. They do not ever want to, I don't know, upgrade equipment or bring on staff when they clearly need staff and or something's preventing them from spending money that would transform their business, and they have money. That's the scenario, and they stay there. Versus somebody like, okay, I need a person. I'll pay the $20 an hour to bring them in to save me 30 hours a week, which I could then put it back into my business to make even more silly money. Or I'll upgrade from that brother printer to get the Rollo or the Dymo to enhance my business. Or, you know what, listing on Amazon, that's great, but I'm going to find a third party tool that does it faster. You need to figure out ways to get your time back, because with that free time, you can either give it back to yourself and enjoy a little bit more of life, or you can pump more hours into your business doing other aspects of your business that are more money-making tasks. Or a combination thereof, but it's essential that it needs to be done at the end of the day. So don't let no cost, low cost, and I get in your way of enhancing your business.
I agree. I think it also falls into your sourcing. And I'll give everybody prime examples from my own personal experience. I listed on Amazon through Seller Central for like 3 goddamn years. I don't know what I was thinking, right? Like, because I was so cheap. And back then, it's probably pushing like 6 grand a month back then. And everything was listed through Seller Central with 30 up labels. So you would get a full sheet, like a full paper size sheet. And you have 30 sticky labels you have to peel off and press on the items. Well, the stickers were not in order. So I would list items and then I would just have multiple sheets of these stickers that I had to mix and match and try to figure out where the items were. And I was so cheap for so long. Like if I just would have got a listing software, I probably would have been, at least 10K a month. And I think now if I had to go back to using 30 ups, like I don't even know if it would be feasible to send in 300 units a week. Five, there's no way you're going to be able to send over 500 in a day doing 30 up labels. So like you gotta pick and choose your spots, right? And I just did a video on like the top 20 Amazon questions, and this was one of them. Like, you don't need all the bells and whistles in the beginning, but like Johnny said, like there should be a transition period, and like we've kind of come to this realization in Amazon land, right? Like 200 units for a repricer, and then like 300, 400, 500 units for a listing software. I think you can be cheap in the beginning, but I said it in the video and I'll say it here again. If you're going to start a business, you should have some type of bankroll set aside, right? I think that I truly believe if on Amazon at least, the days of starting with $0 is gone, right? I think you have to have some type of capital. And even when me and you look back to when we started this, right? You were working a job, I was working a job. So we had capital, right? From our
Yeah,
actual
we had
job.
an influx of cash. We were just working for that influx of cash else outside of our core business. And whether you, I don't know, take money out of your joint account with your spouse because they've agreed and to help, I don't know, be your benefactor. You got a family member who really believes in you and they toss you a few bucks. That isn't uncommon in what we're doing. Usually those people want proof of concept. Like you got to be bringing in money before we give you money. But yes, it generally works. And again, I wouldn't go out and get the loan. I wouldn't max out the credit cards. But if you got a nice friend or family circle and they're willing to throw you a few bucks to get you going along, assuming they don't think you're crazy and they're going to get their money back. Yeah. Or it's a gift from them because they really believe in you and they want to see you successful. Great. There's no shame in that, by the way. But like you and I did it, we funneled it in with our own day job money. And if you're doing the day job route, great. If you need that to funnel your initial bankroll in just before your money starts producing your business, that's also great. There's no shame in it. You don't got to start at $0 and be out there with your flashlight at the dark going through trash cans. You can if
Me and Johnny actually debunked this. I did it on behalf of Johnny and behalf of myself. If you don't have money, you can go drive DoorDash today and make $100 probably in like 4 or 5 hours. Like I literally went out and did this myself, and I had the screenshots to prove it. So if you're sitting here saying, I got no money to start a business, get off your ass, get in your car, go drive DoorDash for 5 hours. They'll pay you the same day. You get $100. I kid you not, Johnny. I made like $25, $30 an hour, more than I did working at CVS.
Did you do this recently?
No, this was probably like 2 or 3 months ago.
I had no idea. I guess I'm behind on your videos.
Every once in a while, Johnny, just like I did that when I went down that whatnot rabbit hole,
Yeah, you fact check. Yeah.
I get pissed off so much and I just go do these things. So I have a little Rolodex of BS callers, right? So like I got the whatnot one where I went and watched all these idiot booksellers on whatnot. Now I
Yeah.
have this one that people say I ain't got no damn money, and I can just be like, hey, I literally went and did this, so you can go and do this. And if you don't believe me, here's my little screenshot to show you that I made $25 an hour.
Was it boring?
Ah, dude, it's easy. You go in, you grab the stuff, you drop it off at the door. You don't even gotta meet people, dude. Like you, it's. But here we are broke. Anyway,
Did
since
you give your business card for your books, or is that not allowed?
I should have, dude. I mean,
Oh.
maybe I start doing it again, right? And just, you
You
know.
knock on the door. You got any books? Here's your food.
You need to make the money you just paid for this meal. Like, you got any books, CDs, DVDs? Yeah,
I'll pay for your meal if you give me every book, DVD, and CD in your home and video game right now.
one thing I know for sure that somebody is going to be successful. Now, to what degree of success, who knows? But if somebody comes to me and I have a one-on-one and they say, Mike, I understand that this is not a get-rich-quick business, and I understand it's probably going to take 6 to 12 months for me to see actual results and actual bank accounts start going up. I think for, I mean, for me, that's like the icing on the cake, because a lot of people come in and it's like, I sent my first box. When do I get paid? I understand that you've never sent a box, your first box, but I think those people also think that I sent my box, I'm going to be getting paid next week. And it's like, brand news.
Yeah, having realistic expectations. And I think that's very important. Also knowing practicality, which will lead me into mine of don't be afraid to innovate. Even if you lose on that innovation, the knowledge you've gained, like my comeback into Amazon, I did a huge innovation. We'll see how this plays out. I didn't win entirely, but I didn't lose either. But the knowledge I gained, like me knowing I can price higher than what the buy box is saying initially, no matter what, within reason, and me figuring out what reasonability is during that experiment is going to follow me the rest of my Amazon career, assuming Amazon doesn't change the rules. And a few other things I learned out of that experiment, even though the experiment as a whole, I would never repeat ever, ever again, because that comes with a big hefty bill in storage cost. But yes, there was a lot of things I learned out of that. And people who try things that could back it up with a good, at least, hypothesis that aren't afraid to innovate, I think are going to be very successful. Because just like the light bulb experiment, how many failed experiments till he figured it out, right? You just have to win once, really. Now, I'm not saying do this to the extent of you gambling, because that'll put you more on the loser side of the camp versus if this works, it'll compound my business by 1,000%. That has more validity to me than I don't know. We'll see what happens. The people that shrug and go, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Not so much a fan of that. So, and again, you don't have to be innovating all the time, but having one to two general innovation, or if you want to call them experiments going on to see what happens, to figure out the results, to prove what you thought was all along right or wrong, I think those kind of people are going to be successful in life in general, but also in their reselling business.
Yeah, I think another thing we can hit on here is when somebody comes to us and they're like, "Hey, here's my business model," right? Me and Johnny, we know our business model is not, copy paste for anybody in the universe, right? We can tell you what we've experienced, what our experiences are, but I think the problem is when you come to us with a different business model that has never been proven, we can tell you, "Hey, here's what we know. Here's what we know is you don't get paid until an item sells. If you're going to have a business that's all slow moving inventory, then guess what's going to be slow moving? Your bank account that comes right along with this, right?" So I think everybody wants to try different things. And like you said, innovation, doing different things is cool. There's plenty of business models out there in media that probably make a lot. I mean, we had the STL bookkeeper on who sells the nudie magazines, right? Like nobody probably ever thought somebody could sell 20 grand a month on whatnot of nudie magazines. But like that's the type of innovation we're talking about versus you saying, "Hey, I have this completely different business model as you, but I want to get the results you get." Well, unfortunately, our business models are completely different, right? Like everybody's going to have a sweet spot of where they fall into. And I think when you start expecting other business models, that's like I own a McDonald's, Johnny owns a Wendy's, but we want to make Chick-fil-A money, right? It's like it doesn't make sense at the end of the day. We're not sponsored by any three of those. I don't even know if I could eat
But we're
anything.
looking. If you'd like to be a sponsor of us, when give us a call.
Johnny's got to show off his chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A after every segment.
I'll just be eating it when Mike's talking.
It's so tough, man. But there are telltale signs of people that are going to win. And sure, there's always the anomalies that like surprise us, right? The people that we thought were going to win that don't make it, or the people we thought were going to be absolute losers and absolutely crush it. But I'm here to tell everybody, we literally have people from every walk of life. Young, older, seasoned resellers, I guess we'll call them so they don't get pissed off at us, getting results. And it all comes down to putting in the work. I think a lot of people think reselling is way easier because of hot shots like me who act like they don't work, but I've been putting in more hours than I ever have this year and have maxed out my sources basically bare bones. I'm not going to get nothing from them for the next 3 to 4 weeks. I think a lot of people think this is easier. And you could argue that, when I started Amazon, it was a lot easier. Or a lot of people, started during the pandemic, right? Where you could sell a polished turd, not even a polished turd, for, 2x what the market value is.
Now, this one's going to be maybe a little bit controversial, but the people that answer other people's questions but give examples from their experience, whether that was a good experience or bad experience, I would consider those people more in the winner camp than loser camp, because they're not just saying it doesn't work. They're saying it doesn't work because X, Y, and Z for me. Those people, in my opinion, have learned to be a little bit more technical, at least in their question answering aspect in life. Therefore, they can probably make better informed decisions by connecting dots versus jumping to conclusion, which is the you suck answer. Like, why, like when you go see a movie, what would you think about it? If you just say it was good or bad and not give any details, you're an asshole. First of all. Second of all, learn some vocabulary, learn how to answer a question properly.
Me and Deb watch movies horror movies all the time, right? It's kind of like our thing. And after each time we watch a movie, it gets a rating between 1 and 10 stars. All right. It's not, oh, it was all right. It was okay. We give a little bit of detail in the rating, but dude, this is, you literally just hit the only sole reason I still exist in the YouTube and podcast realm is because people need somebody who's going to show them the actual numbers and give them actual facts on the business. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people are led astray, and maybe they wind up joining your Patreon or joining my YouTube membership, and all of a sudden, everything's different, right? They came from a place being told they can make $5,000 their first month on Amazon to now me and Johnny are breaking the bad news of, okay, you want to make money? It's going to take months, right? It's going to take a much longer time than they first anticipated. So being around people that have experience and can give you actual facts is going to be how you can learn from people that I guess have already done it, right? Like I wish this podcast would existed before I started because I would have had so much of a runway. The money I'm doing today, I probably would have been doing 2 years ago, and who knows what type of money I would have been making today. But the problem is, Johnny, we're just a little blip in the Milky Way galaxy. So like it's hard for people to really get the hard base facts where there's real evidence that backs it up because most people just say, hey, you could do this. And there's really no, I guess, concrete evidence that it can be done besides them just posting a 30-second short or reel or whatever the hell it is.
Right, exactly. And then I think another, this is going to sound weird and it's totally countercultural. The non-flashy people that don't go say, "Hey, look what I bought." Or they were just working in the background and they pop up once every 6 months maybe to ask, I don't know, key critical questions, and then they're gone for another 6 months. I think those people, though we don't hear from all often because they're not flashy, they're like, hey guys, look at the new, I don't know, Penske truck I bought, or hey, here's photos of my new wear. I'm not saying don't do that. You should be proud of what you got because you earned it, right? But I think the non-flashier people are doing way better than the flashier people because I gotta tell you, if they're working that hard, you don't got time to flash anything. It's like, okay, it arrived, checkbox, let's break open the box and actually use the damn thing, not take a photo of it.
Dude, I'm a YouTuber and some would call me a YouTube sensation, right?
Well, that's your responsibility. It's part of your business to be flashy.
But you're right, dude. Like when I do a bulk pickup or like I'm listing my 700 units every week, I think to myself, like, man, this would be a real cool video. And then I guess little devil Johnny's on my shoulders, like, Mike, you ain't got time for this. Just get the job done. I'm like, all right, dude, you're right.
It's
You're
gonna make
right.
you, it's gonna take you 30% longer, Mike. It's not efficient. And damn it, Mike, it's not efficient. Don't you do it? And then I go away in a poof of
It's
smoke.
so true though, man, because think about it, right? I've been pumping those type of units in probably for the past, 3 to 6 months. And sure, I'll pop a video in here and there of me listing and like doing the pricing. But overall, it's just me in a video talking about, some analytical thing where it doesn't take all the time away from my actual production. I wish I was a hotshot. We got plenty of people. I talk about it all the time. We got a little section of Discord that says great sales. People are posting like $300, $500 books. Like I don't even think I've ever sold a book in my career for over $300, right? Like I literally am just the nickel and dime guy, right? I'm like the Tom Brady, we're gonna go 4 yards every single pass, we're gonna get a first down, keep the sticks moving. Like I want to be flashy, dude. Like Deb hates how cocky I can be sometimes. And in reselling, like I don't really get the chance to be that cocky because my market dictates, like, I don't find the absolute bangers that other people find. And, like, I'm happy for those people. But, dude, like, I want to be happy, right? Like, I sent you that stupid book that was like a $400 book. Like, that's going to be my best sale all year long. And it's just like, man, I want to be flashy. Let me be like, forget the ultimate. Like, I need to go buy like an actual Lamborghini, like I talk about.
There you go. Or just print one for the day. Yeah, and then I find the people who are asking efficiency questions, like, okay, I'm experimenting with different types of mailers, and here they are. What are you all using? And I find that to be a little bit more efficient. This is more like an eBay side efficiency kind of thing, because eBay does require a lot, or if you're a merchant person, probably there. Though I don't see a whole lot of merchant questions come up too often. I don't know why. Anyway, packaging supplies and or I'm using this kind of software. Is there a software that functions more toward this? Because that's what I'm looking for. I think those are more efficiency type questions. I find those people to be a little bit more on the winner side of the circle than not. Because if you're not trying to get better or streamline, is what I mean, really. If you're not trying to streamline your business in any way, I consider you more in the loser camp. Sorry, losers.
I'll tell you my streamline. Don't do anything for Amazon products. And I think after years and years of telling people like to never prep, like I think it's like an ongoing joke with a group, right? Whenever somebody asks, like, should I poly bag an item? Or like, is this good condition or very good condition? Like the group knows my answer. And like I seen somebody posted like last week or something, like, don't tell Mike because he's gonna tell you, don't waste your damn time. Like, I'm glad I have finally gotten through to people. And listen. My way 100% is not the most customer friendly, but my way is my business friendly, right? Like people are like, well, what about your returns? I give them my return rate. They're like, well, shit. Like, yeah, I guess there's proof, right? That if you don't prep, there's real no huge drop off. Like we talked about it years ago. Condition notes, they mean absolutely nothing on Amazon. And if they
Garbage.
weren't auto populated, if we had to type one letter, we wouldn't put anything in that box, right? So like these are the things, and it is cool to kind of see like there's those weird little questions that come out, and like people already know the answer. Like people won't ask like, "How? Hey, Johnny, like, how can I tell if this is an actual first edition?" Because no, Johnny's gonna say, "Well, did you Google it first, right?" Like it's so funny now we have like this concrete set of things people know, I guess, not to bother us with, or if somebody does. Right. Like if somebody does ask that question and we don't respond right away, the people that read that question are probably like, yeah, Johnny's rolling over in his grave right now.
Like, how dare you ask that question? It doesn't help that I yelled them like once every 3 months. I think I have a reminder for me to do so, just to put them back in line, watch them jump a little bit. But yeah, I mean, even I had a little issue with the condition thing as far as like not the notes, because I never cared about that, but you and I talked about that, and your answers to me were like, dude, this is acceptable. So I come from an eBay background, and an eBay world. What works in Amazon world, they don't overlap a lot of
Yeah.
times. And condition is definitely one of those things. What I would consider is good or below acceptable, it's still good in Amazon land. It's a bizarre thing with Amazon, but he's right. It doesn't really affect your returns. And that's what we get held up sometimes is worrying about the returns or, and here's where I'm going with my winner point. The people who don't get caught up in the what ifs or they're way too hesitant to try something because all the negative noise out there of what will get you banned and whatnot. When you got a lot of people screaming in the corner, no, you won't, just send it in. If you're still getting caught up in that, you're more on the loser's side than the winner's side, especially if you've been given the same information again and again and again, and you're still getting in your own way. Stop it. Just when somebody who like Mike gives you an answer, just roll with it. Don't second. That's the other thing. You're second guessing the person giving you the advice. Why would you ask for their advice if you're going to second guess them the whole time? Stop doing that.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because I get it, right? Like I understand people get so worried, like, oh man, your return rate's gonna be so high and you're just gonna lose money. And I think it's the complete opposite. Like I literally 3%. If you think that's a high return percentage for an e-commerce business, you're absolutely out of your mind. 3% is nothing. I've sold, I don't even know how many units so far this year, probably close to 10,000. I'm actually going to look right now so you guys have actual numbers. I sold 9,268 items so far this year. So
Well,
3% return, like, let's get cooking, right? Like what Johnny's saying here is if we get over productive as OCD resellers, which I understand a lot of resellers deal with, everything's got to be perfect, right? Especially if you come from eBay land where you have to
yeah.
take actual photos of the item. eBay's more personal, dude, right? Like you order something on eBay, you're buying from Johnny and it's coming from his basement. And, like it's a small business mentality. People on Amazon, the majority of people that shop on Amazon think everything they buy on Amazon is coming from Amazon themselves, when in reality, over 60% of Amazon sellers are third-party sellers versus Amazon. So we are literally more of Amazon than Amazon is themselves. So let's just cut it out, right? I'll give you a pass in the beginning. Every DVD, CD is your firstborn child. You got to make sure it's in the cleanest, best shape. But after that, let's start talking efficiency, how this is going to scale. Give your final thoughts on this before we wrap this up.
Look at what everybody is doing in the noise, and it's a lot, right? Everybody's doing everything differently. And align yourself with the person who seems to back it up with facts versus speculation and or opinion. Showing your numbers is a key indicator of that. But there's more than that. But somebody who's giving evidence along with what's working, they may not have the flashiest numbers, but at least they're transparent with you. And those are the people you need to gravitate around. They don't necessarily need to be a YouTube star like Mike over there, but they at least need to be giving answers in the community in such a regard. That's the people you want to surround yourself with. Learn from them. And by learning, I mean emulating that. So learn from people who are conducting business in such a way so you can be run a business, your own business better in that same fashion.
And if worse comes to worse, as a famous man once said, everybody can run their business as they see fit. Now, when you start doing crazy things and you start slacking off, you're not going to get punished day one, day two, week one, week two. But there will be a time where you will see the results from you not putting in the time and effort. And like Johnny said, in most cases, you don't want to listen to YouTubers. That's just the honest reality. You want to get in a group that has a lot of people that are specifically in that space, where you can get real answers, not just yes or no. Somebody that can say, hey, no, I wouldn't do this because XYZ, or yeah, that's definitely a good buy. I would buy that myself. I see this all the time. It pops up like, should I buy this lot? I'm like, where do you live? How close am I? Because I'm about to go buy it myself. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thanks for watching on YouTube, listening on podcast platforms. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.